Thanks for listening here on The Gristle on 2SER.
I'm just ordering dinner.
Don't ruin the dinner of this show.
Oh, you actually said you're going.
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a sports show on 2SER that's still a better love story than Twilight. Joel Kasem is my name and I'm not going to give you any more information on myself, so stop asking.
Oh. Jesus Christ.
Let us find out who else is on the show. And I actually wrote lettuce there. First up is a man who, after he played in the Community Cup the other week, Donald Trump came out and said,
"That guy's got a serious weight problem. Go home. Start exercising."
Oh, man. Oh. Is Trump fat-shaming me?
He is.
What a nasty piece of work he is. That's the worst thing he's ever done.
That is the worst thing he's ever done. It's Mick Rad.
Hello.
Is it hot in here? Was it the aircon on? I think I did this last week, too. There we go.
I'm back. So I had it on.
As soon
on.
As you say, I get a hot flush, and then I get all warm, then you need to put the hot aircon on. That's just the cycle of things.
Are we good?
Yeah.
We're good to do this show?
Continue on.
Okay. Second up is a woman whose sports-loving parents named her after their favourite cricketer, Merv Hughes. It's Gabby Morris.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, Merv.
Is he the one with the handlebar moustache?
Yeah, so you do know more than you think.
Yeah.
Oh, are you talking about my Mo? You are.
Oh, way to call it out. That's Mo shaming now.
Mo shaming. Fat shaming. What is this show? Whatever, I love Momo.
What are you talking about? All right, anyway. And joining us for the first time is a woman who is about to be thrown into the North Sea in what's being called Operation Sharkbait. It's Tara Foster.
Yay! We've got a guest.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you, Tara. That's it.
Sharkbait. Ooh, ah, ah. That's all I can think of when I hear of sharkbait.
Yeah, same.
That bit in Finding Nemo.
Not Baby Shark?
Don't. No.
We'll get sued.
No, it'll just be in my brain for the next forever.
Are you actually going to get thrown in or do you dive in voluntarily?
I think I'm going to get kicked off the side of the boat.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Hang on. We have to explain what's actually happening.
Okay.
Rather than...
You are actually Sharkbait.
Yeah. So Operation Sharkbait is a demo mission of the SAR Galileo satellite. So basically what happens when you're in distress and you need a rescue beacon when you're in the sea. I mean, you can use a rescue beacon in any kind of situation, like if you're in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like a GPS thing? Like
Yeah. So it's better than your mobile.
Sure.
Yeah. They have them at the snow, right? They go automatically off if you go under an avalanche. And they're really cool.
So I'll be kicked off the boat and floating around, and I will set it off, and then hopefully somebody will come and save me.
No.
Hopefully. Why are you saying no? You're saying yes.
Yeah, no.
We do hope.
Wait,
so
they don't drop you off and then go away. They must just hang around.
Well,
are you in a cage?
I'm in a rescue thing.
Oh, like
a survival
dinghy.
Yeah, but the thing is, you've got big waves there.
Is it nighttime or daytime?
It's going to be daytime, yeah.
Okay.
What do you mean big waves? Where?
It's the North Sea, so it's really cold and there's some kind of big waves, yeah.
Are there any orcas up there, like killer whales?
Well, that's the thing. There's four pods of orcas.
Yeah, they're cool. They love humans. They're fine.
Oh, but they have teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not good. They'll be good. They're very, very smart. Also, each pod has... They only eat certain things, each pod. So not all... orcas eat the same thing. Did you know that?
Just don't come across the Tara
in the
pod
squid.
And you'll be right.
Yeah. They're like, oh, yes, finally, a human.
Let's get her. With my luck, they're all going to be there on the same time, same day.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
How long do you think you're going to be waiting for this rescue?
They said anywhere up to 45 minutes.
Oh, okay.
And the thing is, when I set off the rescue beacon, I won't even know they got my signal.
I was kind of imagining weeks and you're just creating a Wilson out of all the things you can find.
Well, one thing they did tell me was when I'm floating out there in these waves, I'm going to get seasick and I will probably empty myself by the time I get rescued. So just to give you some kind of visual.
Do you get seasick?
I did once in a shark cage. So, you know, diving with sharks. I was actually
in the cage.
I was in the cage and I was vomiting in the cage.
Oh, you were chumming the waters.
And then shark bait.
Fish were coming up and eating.
And you know what little fish attract?
Big fish. And the sharks come from the bottom.
Oh, my toes are tingling. Oh, that's so freaky.
Yeah, it's pretty cool though.
So will you take seasickness pills?
Nah. I'm going to be hardcore and just YOLO it.
Seasickness is the worst thing ever. Mm. It's so bad.
Well, this is a great demonstration of what truly happens to someone when they're out there. So I'm just doing it as, you know, Joe in the street who's never done this before, right, just showing you what it's like, how you feel, and I'm just giving you a raw account. You can actually watch this all unfold live.
I was going to ask. Is that being filmed?
That's awesome.
Yeah, to do that. They're going to do a live broadcast of it. I'm going to provide all the links and everything later.
Right.
But yeah, yeah, you can actually watch all this. Get your popcorn ready because
bombing for 45 podcast minutes.
Yeah, it'd be good if you did it in conjunction with this show.
We're just live.
It could just be 45 minutes of bleh.
Yeah, me turning different shades of green. Yeah, yeah. You could have a bingo chart.
How did this come about? Like, what was the impetus?
Well, to make a very long story short, I do a bit of banter on social media.
Yes.
You know, I'm either complaining about something or making fun of something. And I've been traveling around the world covering different space events. And the guys over at SAR Galileo, we've kind of been bantering back and forth. And I just said, hey, why don't you have me on a demo mission and leave me out to sea? And then like 2 years later, they actually held me to it. And they called me at my bluff. So,
yeah.
So when is this all happening?
September 26th is the date when it happens. And then if there's a rain date, not that rain really matters, but on the 27th. So if it doesn't happen on the 26th, it'll happen on the 27th.
All right.
And then I'm flying back home to Australia on the 28th, probably with my tail between my legs.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that's amazing. I can't wait. Follow this on Twitter, of course.
Yeah.
We'll tell people.
Wait, will you be tweeting in the little dinghy?
I probably won't be tweeting, but there will be a whole bunch of social media people at the event using the hashtag Operation Sharkbait who will be tweeting that day. So you can follow along. There's also a heap of content on there now that you can see.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
And you are brave.
I know. How do you prepare? Like, have they told you how to prepare for this?
You don't prepare.
Don't eat.
You don't know when you're going to be in a situation like this. You know, I'm just trying to give a raw account of what may happen. I'm not even thinking about it. Like, it hasn't even crossed my mind that I'm doing this.
So you're literally, like, on the boat, and then they're like, it's an emergency, and they're like, bang, kick you off. The thing goes up, and then...
And they just run
Vomit
away.
Vomit city for the next 45 minutes.
So what are you waiting for? Are you what is actually?
From what they've told me, there will be a boat and a helicopter that are coming to rescue.
Right.
And then I will be on the boat. They're going to check all my vitals, make sure I'm okay, maybe clean me up a bit, and then I'm going to be winched into
the helicopter.
They're
going to chop you up and you can be that person spinning around out of control.
Hang on. I've done some research on that. Apparently that won't happen.
It's a freak
accident. It happened. It was because it was in some kind of like
vortexy
thingo
thing.
Vacuum thing.
The
right?
poor lady. She's like 70.
I feel like I just would have died if that happened to me.
Yeah, no, I couldn't. I can't go on it. I struggle with roundabouts. Merry-go-rounds are not for me. I get really dizzy. So that I would have...
It's so sensitive, Joel.
Also, they don't put you down on a stretcher like that in the North Sea.
They just...
Belgium doesn't do that.
Right.
So I'm just going to be hooked to some other person just closing my eyes and hoping I don't vomit on this poor person.
And I'm assuming like the people that are rescuing you don't know when it's going to happen either, right? Like they're testing out.
Right. They know it'll happen on that day, but they don't know what time it'll happen.
Right, right.
There's kind of like a little bit of an itinerary, but...
Do you get do you have a little supply pack in your little dinghy?
It's only 45 minutes, Gab.
You might get hungry, thirsty, you might want to watch some Netflix.
I will have 2 rescue beacons on me.
Oh, in case the first one fails?
Well, just in case, because you never know, right? But I don't think I'm going to want any food or water with me.
Just afterwards when you're smashing a burger on a boat.
I didn't even think, I didn't even think about vom. At all. And they reminded me and I went,
do you have like a safety word or like
a safety word?
What's your safe word?
It's pretty kinky. Like it's
kinky.
Sounds like
I don't know what your kinks are, Gab. I mean, you know.
Bombing in the North Sea.
Yeah.
Like not a safe word, like a
like pineapple.
Like some kind of hand signal where you're like, I can't wait and I gotta get off. Like
But that's the thing, like when you're in a rescue situation like that. you can't get out quickly. So this is just the bare bones, the rawness of it, what truly happens.
But if a shark comes and bites the thing, they're going to, you're like, pineapple, pineapple. They're like, no, you must reenact this.
Now, you're a bit of an adventurer, Tara. Like, you've done a lot of stuff around the world, right? Like, you've climbed things, you've dove things.
I've cycled things.
So this is another life experience, right?
Yeah, it's just one of those things. You just don't think about it. You just kind of do it. And then you just realize, like, well, I don't think they're going to try to hurt me.
No, of course not.
Yeah.
It's all on social media, you know?
Exactly.
All of Twitter will avenge your death. It'll be fine. Not that you're going to die, but, you know, just saying.
It's really cool. It's very brave. It's impressive.
Thank you. Yeah.
It is crazy.
Yeah.
How long's the boat ride, you know, from...
I actually don't know. I don't know.
If it's about,
I think
45.
It's better that you don't know. Yeah. I reckon it's like knowing less is probably better because I reckon I would overthink it.
Yeah, I don't think anybody knows what the drop is going to be. That's a secret. You know?
If it was like a 45-minute boat ride, I would just do a little sneaky push the button when I leave the land. Get picked up straight away.
No, then you've moved from where you were.
Yeah, but you still got it with you. You're not going to leave it there.
I guess.
We found her. She's on the beach.
But she's travelled like
heaps. She's having a cocktail.
It works. hey, guys. You were quick.
Mick was saying you've done some other stuff, some other cool stuff, adventure-wise. What else have you done?
Oh, my favourite would have to be when I went 3 months around Ireland on a bicycle.
Yeah.
And took on random challenges. So I fought as a medieval knight. Which was kind of cool. I actually won second in the world in Sword and Shield.
What? Of course you did.
Yeah, but the French girl, she really beat the crap out of me. So, but I have footage and
great.
I really gave it my all.
Yeah.
I represented Australia.
Yes.
Great.
Cool.
What else did I do? I did stand-up comedy. I did that in Ireland as well in a castle and did quite well. Yeah.
Wow.
That was a lot of fun.
Have you ever thought about continuing that back in Australia?
I would love to. I've been told never to do it again.
The reviews.
But I've
one
got,
star. No,
I think I've got some great like one-liners and funny things, and I could talk about stupid things and, you know.
That's all comedians do. We go on here all the time.
Yeah.
T, one of our co-presenters, she thinks she's a stand-up comedian. Sorry, T.
Oh, that's very nice. T is definitely a stand-up comedian.
Yeah, I know. I was just joking. But,
okay. Oh. So you're moving into comedy too.
Didn't you know that?
Are you?
Oh,
no.
Guys.
I love that.
No, yeah. The banter's dying. Come on. This is terrible.
Pick it up. Okay, so you rode around Ireland in 3 months.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You've done...
Wait. Sorry. This is an important question. Do you have a special female bike seat?
No.
What? So I've only just realized because my partner just got a new bike seat and it is vital for the female anatomy to have... a female bike seat. Otherwise...
What's the difference, please?
Yeah, I don't... Can you explain the
difference? Yeah. So you need a little hole in the middle for your, like, bits to, like, kind of sit in.
Okay.
And then the bum bit is, like, softer. So because women have a seat bone sit further back.
Hang on here. Can I just say,
yeah.
I went around Ireland for 3 months wearing yoga pants and a pair of runners.
Yeah.
And I didn't need a proper female seat.
There we go.
Didn't it hurt?
Hardcore.
No. What hurt the most was when I was cycling and I had the wind blowing against me for 6 hours because I had to cycle even more.
Yeah, right.
But your bum gets used to it a lot. If you ride for a while.
No, but women's bum bones sit further back. So that's why a lot of women have that kind of like bigger at the back seat really narrow at the front.
I guess I've never thought about it. But you ever wondered, like, guys have got these bits as well that sort of get in the way of riding a bike?
Yeah, but they sit further forward.
Do they?
Yeah.
I love that this is becoming across the anatomy.
It's interesting.
You know what? Riding horses, guys actually have a better seat than girls because of the way their pelvis is formed.
Mm.
They actually fill out the whole entire saddle better than women.
Huh.
So women are perched forward, whereas guys sit back better. So they're actually better dressage riders. Bet you didn't know any of that.
No.
Yeah. Very good.
Next.
Anatomy is a very big part of sport, boys.
It is.
Nothing to be ashamed or embarrassed about.
It's not. All right, are we going to talk? Have we got any content to talk about?
content.
Yeah, or do you just want to get straight into sport?
Or what sport, are sporting credentials from Tara?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I know obviously you've ridden a bike a lot and you're doing this thing, but have you ever played, like, you know, team sports, like individual sports, anything?
Yeah, I swam for a really long time.
Yeah?
So I was a swimmer for a while, so that's...
Did you stop eventually? And you're like, well,
I
was long enough.
So individual sport, right?
Yeah.
I used to do horseback riding too, so yeah. I did a bit of dressage and all that stuff, which is also another individual sport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the cycling thing was just kind of a YOLO thing like 2 years ago. So kind of an individual sport. So what I'm trying to say is I'm not really a team player. Yeah.
That's all right. That's still sport. It still counts.
I did play rugby, though.
Oh, yes.
And I have some secrets on how you can win a rugby match.
Ooh.
Wait, you played rugby once and you have all the secrets?
I do. And you're going to love it when I tell you.
Okay. Can you save it for when we actually talk about rugby?
Absolutely.
Is that okay?
Oh, okay.
Because we'll need to discuss what's happened.
Okay.
And the Wallabies need help. So are we going to talk sport then?
Go for it.
Which one should I play today?
Not the long one.
Not the long one. I'll do this one.
Sport!
Pretty quick.
That's really short.
Okay.
Short!
To the short.
Sounded like it was in a toilet. It
well,
was.
That's where you Joel does all his best work.
On his mobile.
Come on, guys. all right, let's start with cricket. The second... So, since we were here last week, the second test wrapped up and the third test
the
has
started. The most uneventful test at Lords in ever.
Well, I mean, that was the thing. It was there was a lot of rain and it was miserable.
Yeah.
But it actually turned out to be quite a full-on game.
Yeah, it was like a super, super fast, speedy test.
Yeah, but there was a lot of, like, drama in it because I think with Jofra Archer,
yes.
So he's this English bowler, he has really become, like, public enemy number one here in Australia. And he's bowling very well. Like, you can't take that away from him. He's very quick. He's a super fast bowler. He hit Steve Smith in the arm. And
what was that?
It was. And the lump that came out almost immediately was huge. Everyone just went, no, it's broken, clearly, because it was that big. He's like, no, I'm sweet. I'm going to play on. Even though you could see he was trying to hold the bat with that hand. He was like wincing. It was not good. Not that long after, I got hit in the back of the neck by a bouncer. Like, right...
Oh, no.
Yeah, in a spot that Australia... Well, what was that? Was what
I just having a little sneaky.
Mick does like a really good...
What?
Oh, every
wait,
time.
Do it again.
Beautiful.
What was I saying?
He got hit in the back of the neck,
yeah.
Which is somewhere that a Australian cricketer got hit in once and happened to die.
Yeah, Phil Hughes died a few years ago, hit in almost the exact same spot. So it's really, it's quite raw in Australia, like, to see that. And to see him collapse when he got hit, just went straight to the ground. It was really scary. But the thing was, Jofra Archer just turned around and walked to his mark. He didn't sort of go up to console him or make sure he was okay. A lot of the other English players did. They sort of went around, but...
Yep.
Jofra Archer took off, and he's become like
a jerk.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Really. I mean, he probably already was a jerk, but now he's even more of a jerk.
Yeah,
do you reckon?
But I also think the.
But I don't know.
Well,
really? I don't know when you're like in the game and like you know he like. Do you reckon he did it on purpose?
A bowler goes out there to bowl hard and fast, and sometimes it does accidentally hit people, and you just turn around and then you keep your wits about you. But when your guy's on the ground, he's clearly not getting up in a hurry.
Oh, right.
And he in hitting him in a spot which is super dangerous, you would at least think he'd show some concern or at least some sportsmanship.
Mm.
But someone else who doesn't have any sportsmanship is the English crowds who, they didn't boo him on the way off. Thankfully, it was quite quiet when he went off injured.
Mm.
But when he came back on later in the match, they decided to boo him.
Yeah.
Boo Stephen Smith, who, of course, yes, we've got all other scandals going on, but just give it up. You don't boo someone who's just coming back.
He's never not going to get booed.
No. Never.
He'll never not get booed.
No.
There's
no
way. No,
I think once this England tour is over.
Yeah, it'll be maybe better. In other countries, but in England, he's always going
to be. We didn't even do it against England, so that's a stupid thing.
And they've done it before, so whatever. I just wanted to mention this thing as well. So anyway, that was a tied match, and now game three has started. Day one.
It's called a draw, Joel. It's called a draw.
What did I say?
You said a tie. It's a very different thing.
Sorry.
What is it?
Yeah. Tied matches like when you get equal scores.
Oh,
the
yeah.
draw is when you run out of time to complete yeah. the match.
That's true. Oh, wow. Learning. Everyone's yeah. learning
That's
today.
A cricket thing.
Yeah.
I did want to play this thing from the second test. I don't know if the audio is going to be very good, but Ben Stokes, he's an English batter.
Hmm.
And when he was on 85 not out, Josh Hazlewood was bowling and he hit Stokes. And, well, I'll let you tell. He can tell you where he got hit.
You just have to announce it. Oh,
yeah,
yeah. Just so
Wait,
everyone
he,
knew.
Oh.
Yeah.
So there you go. Last night was a complete failure from Australia again. Although Labuschagne got 74, he's batting really well.
He's only in for Smith because Smith isn't playing this test.
Exactly. So yeah. that's some big shoes to fill, and he's doing pretty good. In the AFL and NRL, there was coach sackings this week. Ross Lyon from Frio Dockers, with 1 year left on his contract, got fired. I think that's the fourth coach this year in the AFL to be fired.
Wow.
And Nathan Brown from the Knights also got fired, although he gets to see out the rest of the year.
Who would be a coach, seriously? What a crappy job.
No.
You get when your team's going well, the players get the applause, and then when your team's going bad, the coach just gets sacked.
Yes.
So
it's very true.
Why would you do it?
That's sport. Sport. For you.
That's sport.
He hasn't had
do
a
you know,
good
Tara, do you know much about cricket or AFL?
And NRL.
And NRL? Coming from?
From where I was born.
Yeah.
Yeah. I once saw some guys playing cricket when I was like 19.
And it scarred you forever.
Haven't been back since.
I heard that like there's like 10-day cricket or something, or 5-day cricket.
Five.
Which I don't understand.
Nope, nobody does.
Well, that was a drawn test where it rained for like two and a half of the days, and then they played a little bit of cricket and then they still didn't get a result.
But if you're going like to watch the cricket, why do you bring a newspaper?
good question.
And then I know rugby and then AFL, which is kind of weird, but kind of like almost it reminds me of like hurling in Ireland where they're running around but with a bat.
Oh yeah.
It's flinging kinda, the ball through the air, like catching it in midair. Yeah,
so it's very similar to hurling.
Mm. Yeah. But, yeah. And they've got this thing in Ireland called Gaelic football as well, which is similar to AFL, but they have goals like where they have to
like soccer.
Yeah, like goal, but they're holding it in their hand, unlike soccer.
Yeah.
And they have to kick it into the goal. So they do this thing where they like a hybrid AFL Gaelic football sport, and yeah, it's pretty weird. But yeah, I reckon AFL is a weird sport. If you're coming from another country, you're like, what the hell is this Australian?
And it's fast. It's
thing.
Really fast.
Yeah. And it's a huge oval.
It's
like,
so,
there's a lot
it's
of
so
running
intense.
Around.
We should know. We played it last week. And I'm still hurting. Oh.
We know.
Yes.
What
are you going to say? Was it rugby next we're talking about? Rugby union?
Do you want, we can go to rugby, yeah.
Rugby union, of course.
So this is not underwater rugby. This is
not regular
rugby. Rugby union. Before we talk about the Bledisloe Cup thrashing, the Wallaroos played the Black Ferns in the game before that. They were also hammered 37-8. It was 17-8 at halftime. They couldn't score again in the second half. And they also played in Perth the week before where they got smashed 47-10. So
Australia's we fluked this win in the Bledisloe, the first Bledisloe Cup.
Yep.
And now New Zealand are just getting their revenge.
Exactly.
They don't
they
like
always
losing.
Do.
They don't like losing.
So does someone get fired?
Not yet. We'll have to wait and see. We did win a game though, the first one in a long time. But the Bledisloe Cup is just like, you know, Australian versus New Zealand rivalry in rugby union, and I think we haven't won it since like 30 years.
2001.
Oh no, okay, not quite as long as
that's,
I thought.
That's
a long
wrong,
time.
I think.
Still. 18
anyway.
Years.
Yeah, so we lost the Bledisloe Cup 36-0. And they only played two games, so whoever won last time just gets to regain it pretty much. And
who does a two best of two? I mean, what a ridiculous thing to do.
Honestly, why would you want to play the All Blacks any more than once?
Yeah. Nobody beats Australia 18 times in a row.
Oh, we're used to it now. No, but what you've got some hints on how you can win rugby union.
Yes, okay. So I played rugby many, many moons ago. And
Wait, why? What were you doing? How did you get involved?
Oh, it just seemed like a cool thing and they had cool shoes. And then I don't know, I kind of got roped into it.
Yes.
You know, the shoes with the things that put holes in the ground.
Spikes.
Yeah, they're really cool.
Yeah.
So, I was all, kitted up and, you know, running around. And I loved how they picked you up and to catch things.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was really
neat. Lineouts. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, basically, I'd go on the field, the pitch.
Yeah.
And what I would do,
either.
I would run down. I would just start bolting and I'd find somebody and I'd lock eyes with them. And then I would just totally run straight into them.
Whoa.
And then when they were down on the ground, I would just scream in their face like, like that. And then they were scared of me. And then they would run away and avoid me. And that's how we would win.
That's amazing. Yeah, you just intimidated the opposition by running full power. Oh, it was all about the eye contact, right?
Yeah, it was that. And then just to scream at the end.
Yeah. This sounds like you're like a little bit
social rugby.
Yeah.
It's just children's.
Yeah. I wasn't allowed to play anymore.
Yeah. But we won.
I reckon you could coach the Wallabies and just teach them that method.
Yeah.
And they'd beat the All Blacks anyway.
Yeah, they don't scream.
No, they don't scream. Not enough screaming at all. Just yelling in their face when they're on the ground.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. You got to get like that far away from them.
What if you can't get them on the ground? Like, is it, you know, or you just run.
I don't think you can actually do that.
You just got to smash
unless they've got the ball.
No, yeah, you can't.
You get
just
the shoulder.
Knock someone over for fun.
It's all about the shoulder. See, listen to Tara.
Just the shoulder.
Okay. Are you shoulder charges allowed in union?
Well, you got to use your arms a little bit.
But they also have to have the ball.
Oh, is that the secret? Get the people without the ball.
Yeah. I actually got kicked out of playing netball as well.
Yeah, because you did the same thing. Yeah.
Well, that and I was a little too aggressive, and they benched me.
Oh.
So I haven't played since.
Yeah.
So Tara and team sports don't mix.
Yeah.
Obviously. No, but I'm great in the individual one. Yeah. I can really hold my own.
You're only yelling at yourself.
In just before we play the game in basketball last night was that Boomers versus Team USA match.
What a joke! Russell Crowe and I paid $50,000 for this seat. What a joke!
Yeah,
they're Russell, the ones.
He's a joke.
They're the seats with like the plastic ones in the ground.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So
I
they
saw
had
that.
Just like crappy white chairs that you'd find in
anywhere.
First of all, they're playing basketball in a football arena.
Yeah.
And
so if you got stadium seats, you're so far away from the tiny little basketball court.
And there's no sloping like on the seating.
And if you're on the ground, it's just flat.
It was a couple
feet. And they raised it.
A half metre above the ground.
Yeah, so they raised the actual thing. So people in the front row are like, you know, like you're at the cinema, in the front row looking up.
It was ridiculous.
I heard the advertisements were of all these really highbrow players and then they didn't have all of them.
Yeah, they didn't show up.
Well, they didn't turn up because it's like NBA players are like, why would I go to Australia for a one-off game in a football
ground? In a football stadium. With Russell Crowe. That's the biggest deterrent.
Yeah. Of Russell Crowe's game? Sorry.
No.
He's busy.
Nah, you're all right, mate. You're all right.
All right, let's play a game.
He might be listening.
Questions and stuff.
Oh, I've sort of you've just given up on the game.
I have.
Okay.
I'd love for someone else to do it.
Well, okay. I'll do
you guys just
week.
Look at each other, but no one says anything. All right.
All right.
So, Tara, you can play as well. Don't feel like you can't play.
No, what do you mean? Of course she's going to play.
She's sort of just sitting back now like, I'm done. Do you guys want me to go?
That's the slow back
she's just
away.
Thinking, yeah.
But I'm going to ask a question and she's going to jump in Gabby's face and be like,
No, please don't. It's Friday and I'm vulnerable.
All right. Question number one. In which year did Venus Williams win her first Wimbledon singles title?
2008.
What? Way before that. I would say...
You just do whatever you feel.
98. 99.
Oh. Have a guess, Tara.
2005?
Oh.
Yes.
2000. Oh, the answer
close,
to that question.
I was off by five.
What colour karate belt is a beginner required to wear in the majority of schools?
Wait. Blue.
Wait, did you say white?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you said wait, like I had to stop.
White.
White is correct.
White, yes.
I knew it was white, but you got in there first.
And did you say blue just to save face?
Yeah.
How many players are there on a water polo team?
11.
Whoa.
You're
so confident. I'll say 9.
I need more.
Just
10,
keep going.
15. 12. Oh. Why are you playing that song?
I think it's the point. Did anyone say 7 in all those numbers?
Oh, I was
You said more.
I think I should get half a point for that.
Oh. Okay.
Yes.
You should have cut it off halfway in the da-da.
All right, here we go. There's always darts questions. Always.
Oh, my God,
number...
you've done so many dart questions.
I know, a lot. Because they keep coming up when I
And I bet it's the same
questions.
One and I bet we
Probably
get it wrong
is.
Every time.
Which number sits at the bottom of the circle on a dartboard?
28.
Wrong.
9.
Where's my little mouse?
Is it 3?
3 is right.
It's 3. Yeah, I knew it was one of those. Are you going to ask the
question? He just clapped himself.
Well, you're cheering.
Yeah, I did good.
It's all right, mate.
Oh, hey.
You got any more questions?
I've got heaps more, but it's the end of the show. We have 20 seconds left.
All right. Fine, then. We won't talk about it. But okay. Thank you, Tara, for coming in.
Oh, thank you, Tara.
So much.
All the best.
So, yeah, let us know when you get dropped
you'll have
in the
to
ocean.
Come back in.
I will.
If you survive.
And what are the hashtags and the handles
Yeah,
again?
Where can people follow you?
Operation Sharkbait is the hashtag. And then you can follow me on Twitter at Tara Australis, and I'll spell it. It's TaraUstralis.
Cool.
I should have made it simpler.
Yes. No, I like it. It's good.
Great.
Thanks
okay, awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, and good luck.
Oh, thanks.
And yeah, you have to come back in when you're finished.
Sure.
Great. All right, that's it. Bye.
Cancel those dinner plans, call off the wedding, and free up your September because the Sydney Fringe Festival starts in under 2 weeks. Get amongst the Decade of Fringe experience on Sunday, September 1st, as King Street Crawl and Fringe Ignite join forces for the biggest opening party yet. This year, Fringe Ignite takes hold of South King Street, Newtown, with a swagger of great music in all your favourite haunts. Check out all the details for Fringe Ignite and the rest of this year's unmissable lineup now at sydneyfringe.com. 2SER is a media partner of Sydney Fringe.
Can you believe?
Brown cow.
Stunning.
You're the homosexual.
I care about you.
Go, amazing.
No, I'm not going.
Because it's done.
We're here, we're queer, and we'll never die.
Hello. Every time.
I don't like it. I don't like it, Ruby.
I think I'm a really good singer, and I'm also really funny and smart.
You are very funny and smart, but I do not think you would win The Voice.
I think I would.
I don't think you would.
Unpopular opinion.
Popular opinion is not how The Voice is decided.
Yeah, it is.
I can't remember. I've never seen The Voice.
You are listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SCR 107.3 and Joy FM 94.9.
Yes, that is correct. It's not wrong. It is the truth. I am Patrick. My surname is Clancy. My middle name is Baker, if you didn't know. So there. Now you do know.
And I'm Big Cheeks Little Hole. That's my full name. First name, Big Cheeks. Middle name, I don't have one. Last name, Little Hole.
Is Little Hole hyphenated? Is it Little Hole?
No, it's just full. Little Hole.
Does it still have a capital H? Or small H?
A hobbit.
Well, it's a small hole, so it must have a small H.
Yeah, of course.
That's Ruby. It's not Big Cheeks, Little Hole.
My name is Ruby Innes, and that is Patrick Clancy. And
she does have big cheeks and a little hole, though.
Yeah, in the sense that my cheeks on my face are quite large and my mouth is very little.
My butthole, quite small.
And that's the show. So today we are having a lovely chat with Daisy Little and Adonis from Camp Out.
Camp Out. Contrary to popular opinion, gays are kids too.
That's true. I mean, yeah, no, absolutely. But
kids are gays.
We're talking to them about Camp Out, which is like an organization.
A camp for adolescent, younger queer people.
Aged 13 to 17.
Not my age anymore.
No.
It used to be.
I was once a teen and now I'm not anymore.
I would like to clarify, I was never 14 to 16. I was only 13 to 17.
That's so crazy.
Like when anyone was like, hey, how old are you? And I was like, I'm 13 to 17.
Yeah, no in between.
And they were like, okay.
You are 13 going on 17.
Why aren't you in the middle? happened?
Why aren't you Malcolm in the middle?
In this version of the song, it's different lyrics, but Rolf is still a Nazi.
Rolf continues to be a Nazi. He never stopped.
I feel like we talked about Nazis last week as well, probably.
Well,
never in a positive way.
I was at a trivia night, and there was this chat about like
the song 16 going on 17, because I think the theme of that round was musicals. And the song was 16 going on 17. And we're all like, oh, but how old is Rolf? And then I remember, I'm like, oh, he is 17 going on 18. And then the host, lovely gal, the host was like, oh, well, it's all good then. Rolf is not cancelled. And we're all like, ha, 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 great. And then it took me a second. I'm like, wait, yes, he is, because Rolf is a Nazi.
Yeah, he is cancelled. He is cancelled.
But yeah, Rolf is cancelled.
Another small thing. I was talking to someone on a popular dating app recently, and they said, oh, I'm going to my sibling's birthday.
And that popular dating app is Christian Mingle.
His name was Christian Mingle, though. It was really bizarre. But he said he was going to his sibling's birthday, and his literal wording, he's 16 turning 17. And then I typed out the full song, all the lyrics to the song, Do Me by Kim Petras.
Not
16 going on 17. Then he blocked me.
That's so valid.
You know what's really fun? I started off telling a true story just then, but started lying in the middle.
Sometimes it's fun to lie.
It is fun to lie, so, but we have songs to play, so we can't keep doing it.
We're going
to
play some music for you. This track is by Kilter and Mookie, and it is called No Time.
But you do have time to listen to it.
You have time to listen to it. And you are also listening.
It's a Gay Area.
On 2SER 107.3 and Joy FM 94.3. Nine. This is No Time by Kilter and Mookie.
You got me feeling white-eyed, but don't know what we're doing. You've been hiding, you've been polarizing. Should be color the scope. If you don't want to. No time. I don't wanna waste no time. Sending all these signals out to you. It's so simple, take me to the moon. I don't waste no time. I don't wanna waste no time. Sending all these signals out to you. It's so simple, take me to the moon. We could be, you must be lucid dreaming. We got the chemistry with TNTN. Just you don't wanna lose me. If you don't want to, go no, you don't have to. Oh, no, no, no. Let me just have control and you won't be alone. No, no, no.
September, brace yourself as Sydney Fringe turns 10.
celebrating with over 350 shows across 60 venues over 30 days. Offering work from 11 different genres, including theatre, comedy, music, dance, circus, experiential events, and much more. This year's program is live and ready to go, so grab your tickets at sydneyfringe.com. 2SER is a media partner of Sydney Fringe.
You're listening to It Is a Gay Area.
Just it's actually kidding.
It's actually, a gay yeah, area. Yeah, yeah. On 2SCR 107.3 and Joy FM 94.9.
And you, that was Take You Out by Moaning Lisa.
We got it.
Did you know that FM stands for fuck, man?
It does.
And going
true.
On from that, We have an interview here for you. We are going to be speaking to the lovely Adonis and Daisy Little from Camp Out. And away we go.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having us.
Now, first things first, Patrick, why didn't you start this off?
So why don't you tell us a little bit about Camp Out? What is it? What do you do for it? Give us the rundown.
Cool. Okay. So Camp Out is a week-long, five-day camp for young LGBT people, and it's held on the Mid-North Coast. The young people come from all over New South Wales, and during the week they participate in workshops and art activities and nature activities, and it's just a really great way for them to meet each other and form like a really strong community of young queers, because a lot of them come from rural and regional areas, so they can be quite isolated.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, how did it all kind of come together? How did the idea for Camp Out start?
So the idea for Camp Out started from a camp in the US called Camp Ten Trees. Mm-hmm. And essentially a group of friends, a group of punk kids, heaps DIY, just decided to start it here because there wasn't really anything like it. And there still kind of isn't. There are some camps that have started in other states, but, yeah, definitely not in New South Wales.
Mm. How long has it been around for?
We're in our ninth year this year.
Wow. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you.
9 years old.
Yeah, almost 10, which is pretty amazing.
Are you going to do anything special for the 10th year?
Yeah, definitely. I think, that will definitely be on the cards. We had a little five-year celebration when it hit five-year mark. So I definitely think that 10 is going to be a good time to celebrate.
Speaking of workshops and art and crafts, which we all love, what are the types that are held at Camp Out? Like, what makes them queer and fun and different?
Well, we might have a Vogue dance workshop.
Oh, I love that.
We might have like a zine making workshop. Mm-hmm. We might have like a body positivity workshop that has like is related to art making. Mm-hmm. So it's really art as therapy, art as self-love, art as expression rather than just... But, I mean, art just for art's sake is great too.
Mm. I love that so much. And
go on.
I was just going to say, I guess we also really focus on the politics as well at camp. So a huge part of what we try and, I guess, impart onto the young people is... you know, body politics, racial politics, feminism, decolonization.
All very important things, not just only for queer people really, but like for everyone to know.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess like it's, there's something basically like being queer in this day and age and always has been political. It's been a political act and learning that at a young age as a queer person is so important. Mm-hmm. It's so important. Mm. Now, speaking of importance, what do you feel like the importance of having an organisation like Camp Out is?
I think that it's about building community. Mm-hmm. Like, I think if you're a young person that's growing up in rural and regional areas, even if you're growing up in the Sydney metro area, you might not necessarily know other queer people. It might be only when you're in your 20s that you get that group of really close friends that really like gets you and accepts you for who you are. So the whole political aspect of Camp Out is really important in helping the young people to engage with the world as young queer people. I feel like building community is what's at the heart of it, but also maybe like we have a lot of panel discussions, things like gender journeys and intersectionality, and It gives the young people a chance to see kind of older queers and imagine a future for themselves, which they might maybe might not have been able to do if they don't know a lot of older queers.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like I was going to say before, like it's I guess we have so many opportunities to like meet other queer people in our 20s and like go to parties and go to gay bars and go to events like Mardi Gras and all that noise. But there's very little opportunities to meet other queer people when you are a young person, which is why this camp out is so amazing. I mean, unless you're on Tumblr in like 2010, which I was, and met all of my queer friends on there. But yeah, it's just so unique in what it is. It's quite amazing.
I mean, yeah. Speaking of, I wasn't on Tumblr in 2010, so I didn't really get exposed to any queer friends, well, at large until recently, relatively in terms of years. So yeah, I think stuff like this is so important for younger queer people because I was. So lonely.
Aww. I met my queer friends through a Tori Amos online mailing list.
I love that.
That is so gay. I love it.
That is beautiful. Oh, my God.
So what does Camp Out aim to, like, if it has a goal, what does it aim to do to help to change? What is your ultimate goal for Camp Out?
I guess, like Daisy mentioned, community building is probably our biggest aim. And I guess a huge byproduct that we don't really focus on because we're not a therapy-based camp, but a huge byproduct of the young people being in that space is an improvement of mental health. And we see that with the campers that return. For the next camp or the next two camps, that and you know the feedback that we get is that attending a space like that where they can literally be anything or anyone that they want to or have an inkling that they might want to be in a safe environment that's also fun and challenging. I think. Yeah, they really, I guess, grow and move through a lot of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
We love that for Camp Out.
Yeah.
So what sort of... we do know that you're having a bit of an art auction soon that's coming up to support this year's Camp Out. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, that's right. We're having an art auction tomorrow night, Saturday night. If you're listening to this podcast later, it'll obviously not be Saturday night. But
that's your fault for missing out.
Yeah. Anyway, it is Saturday the 24th of August. So we're going to have a little art auction from 6 to 9 at the Bearded Tit in Redfern, which is a great local queer bar. So after the auction, there will be DJs and performances, Stereogamous, Iber Tonier, Brown Eye and Adonis, Marlena Dali, Betty Grumble, Diane Ty, Ceremony, and Three Piece All Over Your Face.
Over Your Face.
Yep, that's a great little performance collective that a few of our friends are in.
Ooh.
Very, very new and avant-garde, I would say. Would you like to know about some of the artists we'll be featuring?
Absolutely.
Fantastic. So we have artworks from Deborah Kelly, Shivanjani Lal, David Helmers, Megan Oliver, Miss Suffer, Valerie Schlossberg, Ceramics from Trade the Mark, Wearables from Romance Was Born, and the very talented Jeff McCann. So
awesome.
Some great artworks.
Such a good
All people you should support. Like. Personally, like, Picasso did try and get into this auction, but he was a terrible man, so we said no. Yeah.
And dead.
Also dead. That is true.
Also not queer. I think that majority of the artists, if not all, in this exhibition is queer, so support your local queer artists.
Support your local queer artists. Don't support
and
Picasso.
Boycott Picasso.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea. Well, last but definitely not least, how do people apply for Camp Out?
So to be a camper, we do a bit of a call out online and through the school, like the high schools mm-hmm. across New South Wales. And we also have an online form on our website, which is www.campout.org.au. We have actually selected our campers for this year, unfortunately. So sorry to those young'uns that may only just be finding out about this now.
There's always next year.
There's always next year.
And we still love you in the meantime.
Of course.
We're also looking for maybe some adult queers that might want to put their hand up to do little jobs to help us out in the lead up to camp. So
Very important.
Find us on our Facebook page, Camp Out, or our Instagram, Camp Out Forever. Send us a little message if you'd like to give us a hand.
If you have some spare time, that's definitely what you should be doing.
Yeah.
Stop doing your terrible hedonistic things and go help young gays.
Or if you're rich and you
give us your money.
Yeah, give us your money. If you can't make it to the fundraiser for various logistical reasons, we do have a chuffed campaign also on at the moment.
Fantastic.
That we're probably going to start pushing once the auction is over, because we're focusing our time and energy on that at the moment. But give us your money, because we are completely independent and don't receive any government funding.
Yeah. And you know what?
So sad.
At this current moment in time, it is very hard to be a young queer person with, you know, all of these scare campaigns going on by our current government. So, you know, if you want to actually do something for young queer people,
support
please
Camp Out.
Give Camp Out your money. It's what they deserve.
Me and Ruby usually ask for money. Don't give us your money this time. Give it to Camp Out.
Exactly. But if you got a spare dollar.
No, Ruby.
That's fair.
So thank you guys for coming on.
Thank you so much
for
having us.
And that was Daisy Little and Adonis from Camp Out Australia talking to us about Camp Out
Australia.
That's it, mate.
And don't you ever say that again.
That's it. That's it.
No.
Sorry, that's it.
Thank you. Okay. So we are going to now do some talking. We're going to do some talking and also some listening. So, unfortunately, you will be doing only listening because you cannot talk to us. You can.
That's so crazy.
We won't be able to hear you. So please send any mail you have to the 2SER studios. We will receive it. Just put it attention. It's a gay area. Ruby and Patrick, your beautiful friends.
And also please mail me transcripts of whatever Patrick is saying, because this may sound shocking to you, but I cannot hear a word they are saying anytime we are on air.
That's really wild.
What? Nah, good bit, though.
That's really wild, because I don't know if you guys know this, but when we record this show, be it live or be it beforehand, Ruby sits down and then I sit directly on her lap. And then I put a small lav microphone just like tied around her ear, and then I just talk into her ear. So it's a very intimate affair.
We don't actually use like normal radio microphones.
No.
We use lapel microphones because we want to move around and do activities while we're recording.
But we don't do activities. Like, as I said, I sit on Ruby's lap in a completely platonic way.
Yeah.
And then I whisper quietly into her ear, but I turn the volume on the microphone way up so it sounds like I'm talking normally to you guys. But Ruby is getting the full intimate experience of my hot, hot breath in her ear holes.
And I dance only with my arms.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, we've run out of time.
Thank you.
But thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And
thank you for listening.
Thank you to Daisy Little and Adonis from Camp Out for coming on to have a chat with us.
Yes, very delightful.
Thank you.
We do. Thank you.
Thank you to our producers.
Yes, thank you to our producers. We love them.
Stay tuned.
I'm going to give them a hot kiss on the mouth.
Very hot and gross.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding.
Stay tuned for Hardcore Classic with our sweet, sweet boys.
Sweet, sweet boys. They are currently dancing. They are dancing so hard, and they'll be dancing so hard for the duration of their show.
It's true.
It's true.
We're going to leave you with a song.
We are going to leave you with a song. This has been The Big Hole and The Sweet Face.
Big Hole, Sweet Face. That's what we're called. It's true.
Which one is which? That's for you to decide.
Yeah. So what are we listening to?
We are listening to the Colours Show rendition of Lekale 47's Bad Gal Flex. If you don't stan.
It's time to stan.
And we're going to play that right now, and you're going to enjoy it.
This has been It's a Gay Area
on 2SER 107.3
and Joy FM 94.9.
We love those numbers, we love you, and we love our mothers.
This is a bad girl flex. When I come to collect. This is a bad girl flex. Hang it up, disconnect. This is a bad girl flex. When we campaign to re-elect. This is a bad girl flex. Run up, you might get wrecked. No one can test. Middle name architect. They never know what to expect. You accept what I reject. Coupon that boy. I might make him my toy. Send him on, bump me rest. Tell his mama I'm the best. Somebody tell me say you didn't talk about me. It's no surprise that they check about we. Boy, I shake one, let's be so nice. Get the red out your eye for you come try me. Somebody tell me say you didn't talk about me. It's no surprise that you check about we. Boy, I shake one, let's be so nice. Get the red out your eye for you come try me. This is a bad girl flex. When I come, I pick up the check. This is a bad girl flex. Hang a top, disconnect. This is a bad girl flex. Come a campaign to recollect. This is a bad girl flex. Hi.